Good morning. The markets are moving and so are you from the BizNews studios. This is BizNews Daybreak for Wednesday, the 7th of January. I'm Alec Hogg and here's the context you need to win the day. Continued strength overnight for the South African rand, currently trading at 16.36 against the US dollar, and a 3.3% gain in the past month. There was also strength on Wall Street overnight and a steady Bitcoin around $93,000. But headlines are dominated with another controversial proposal from the White House following the recent US military operation to remove Venezuela's President Nicolas Maduro. President Donald Trump has proposed a plan to stabilize Venezuela's economy and recoup American costs. He's going to do this by effectively taking control of a massive tranche of Venezuelan crude oil, about a month to a month and a half worth of production from that company, and sell it on the global market. Trump frames this as a necessary step to pay off Venezuela's debt to U.S. companies. Remember, in the nationalization 18 years ago, U.S. companies and other businesses lost $60 billion U.S. dollars, and to fund the rebuilding of Venezuela's shattered oil infrastructure, signaling a shift towards direct U.S. management of the nation's primary resource. Here's the latest on this and other issues from our partners at Bloomberg.
President Trump says Venezuela will be turning over between 30 million to 50 million barrels of sanctioned crude oil to the U.S. In a post this evening on Truth Social, Trump said the oil will be sold at market prices and controlled by him. Here is Bloomberg's Stephen Stepchinski.
Trump has said that there would be some sort of they will be able to use government money to help fund this. He said it would, the government would help pay for it. If that is the case, that could maybe entice the Chevrons and the Exxons into Venezuela.
That was Bloomberg's Stephen Stepchinski. Now, this announcement comes as the Trump administration is set to meet with energy executives at the White House to enlist them in rebuilding Venezuela's oil industry. President Trump will not rule out the use of military force to acquire Greenland. The White House says the president and his team are discussing a range of options to pursue the goal of acquiring the Danish island. European leaders issued a joint statement today and said Trump needs to respect the territorial integrity of Greenland and Denmark. They also said security in the Arctic must be achieved collectively with NATO allies. Meantime, U.S. lawmakers are weighing in on Trump's military operation in Venezuela. Here is Kentucky Republican Senator Rand Paul speaking to reporters.
I think bombing a capital and removing the head of state is, by all definitions, war. And I think the administration wants to present this as, well, this is just law enforcement. He's a drug dealer, and we just had to bomb the whole country because we had to protect the people arresting him.
Kentucky Senator Rand Paul speaking earlier. Meantime, Venezuela's military says at least 24 Venezuelan security officers were killed in that U.S. operation to capture Nicolas Maduro. We go to Europe next, where EU member states have agreed on security guarantees for Ukraine if the country agrees to a peace deal with Russia. The UK and France have signed a declaration of intent to provide air and sea defenses and training for Kyiv's forces. At the same time, the US is expected to lead monitoring of any ceasefire. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has been meeting allies in Paris.
We already have enough details and we know which countries will get involved and what each of them will contribute separately. And allow me to thank every leader who is willing to contribute to this peaceful solution.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky speaking through a translator. European officials call today's developments a major breakthrough, and they say it means they are now aligned with the U.S. on those security guarantees. We go to technology next, and NVIDIA, the country now saying that its revenue forecast has gotten a bit brighter. That is due to strong demand. Large customer deals are increasing the uptake of new AI models and bringing in more orders for NVIDIA than anticipated. The company's highly anticipated Rubin data center processors are also in production, and customers will soon be able to try out this technology. Here is NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang.
Each one of these Vera Rubin GPUs is 240,000 watts. And it is 10 times more energy efficient than the last generation. It is 10 times more cost efficient than the last generation. But it's still, the technology is insanely complicated.
That is Jensen Huang, the CEO of NVIDIA, speaking to Bloomberg at the CES event in Las Vegas. Also at CES, Qualcomm introduced a full suite of robotics technologies. This includes a processor for autonomous mobile robots and advanced full-size humanoids. And Qualcomm CEO Cristiano Amon tells Bloomberg he sees robotics as the next big wave in artificial intelligence.
Things that you didn't thought were possible to do with a robot, you can do it right now using AI. I think industrial robot is the big, largest opportunity that we see in front of us, and it's probably starting as early as 2026.
Cristiano Amon, the CEO of Qualcomm, speaking to Bloomberg at the CES event in Las Vegas. In the stock market today, both the Dow Industrial Average and the S&P 500 closed at fresh records. More from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
It continues a run driven by investor optimism over artificial intelligence and expectations of easier monetary policy from the Federal Reserve. Julie Beal is portfolio manager at Kayne Anderson Rudnick.
Most companies feel like demand is stabilizing. They feel like they have more clarity. There's a lot of opportunity for them to do more expensing in terms of their R&D. So there are good things that are baked into this economy that should be supportive.
Investors have largely shrugged off tensions in Venezuela to extend a three-year bull run fueled by demand for AI-linked shares. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Radio.
Another new high on Wall Street and a particularly bright session for some biz news portfolio stocks. Uber up 6% in both Amazon and Palantir gained 3%. Indeed, Palantir's bounced right back from the $160 an ounce levels, now just under $180. The strong overnight move builds on yesterday's excellent performance for South African stocks, where the JSE's all-share index gained almost 2%. And the BizNews Ricardo portfolio wildcard Orion Minerals jumped 17% to a new high of 27 cents a share. This on confirmation that the deal between Orion Minerals and Glencore, involving between $200 and $250 million to get the copper mines going again in the Northern Cape, is on track. Also, some very solid performances from other portfolio members, 3% gain from Purple Capital and fresh 12-month highs for Lewis and others, 2% gains also at Sabvest, HCI, First Rand and Remgro. The local stock market improvement came despite some sobering news on the broader South African economy. S&P released its latest Global Purchasing Managers Index yesterday, showing that it had dropped to 47.7 in December, the weakest level in 11 months. Businesses there reported a sharp drop in activity as customers pulled back on spending, with both local households and international clients tightening their belt. But there is a silver lining. Despite the gloom, companies continue to hire slightly more people, and confidence for the year ahead is robust, or at least it was, before events in Venezuela over the past weekend. The S&P's Purchasing Managers Index figures are confirmed in the latest trade figures that were released by South African Revenue Services at the last day of the year, so pretty much got missed in the noise of New Year's Eve. South Africa recorded a massive 37.7 billion rand trade surplus for November 2025, but the drivers behind it are starting to raise some eyebrows. While exports dipped slightly to 188 billion in November, the real story is a sharp 15% plunge in imports. We saw significant drops in the importation of oil and vehicle components, signaling potential softness in the manufacturing and consumer sectors in South Africa. Despite lower export volumes in citrus, no surprise there, and gold, year-on-year trade remains positive. The year-to-date surplus now sits at 179 billion rand, just slightly behind where we were this time last year, as the country heads into recording the final months of 2025. Back on the global front, our partners at The Economist have been providing excellent insights into the real story around Venezuela. Here's Jason Palmer, who hosts The Economist's daily podcast, The Intelligence, speaking with the group's Americas editor, Hal Hodson.
So let's wind back and talk again about why America is suddenly so interested in Venezuela in the first place.
Well, it's not that sudden. It's been months and months. How long has the Gerald Ford, the world's most powerful aircraft carrier, been in the Caribbean off the Venezuelan coast? Since October? And we've been talking about this build-up and internally talking about when the Americans were going to do something and what they were going to do for a very long time. Now, the scale of what they've done, just snatching him with helicopters in the middle of the night and then announcing that they run the country, that surprised us. I think it surprised most people. The baseline analyst's case was they're going to drone a shed in the middle of the jungle and call it a win. But they didn't do that. They did something much, much more dramatic. Why is Trump interested? He wants to project power across America's backyard, across the Western Hemisphere. This much is very clear now. He's also obviously very interested in Venezuela's largest oil deposits in the world. I think he's also just interested in looking like the big strong man who can just whisk away the leader of a country by clicking his fingers and deploying the world's most powerful military. And also, Maduro was a really nasty piece of work. He oversaw torture, repression, jailing people. Venezuelans have been miserable for years under him, as they were miserable for years under Chavez, but particularly under him. He was a nadir in Venezuelan social life.
But this is, in its way, in keeping with what we saw in the National Security Strategy published late last year, which basically said, hemispheric dominance, that's our game. This was telegraphed.
Not only is it in keeping with that, it is an incredibly dramatic demonstration of that. Like, nobody who read that thought this was what it was going to be. We're going to basically start running this country as a pseudo-corporate state and everyone's going to profit from the oil. That was not in the cards. I think it tells us so much about what they really mean by that strategy. That's why the wind is up. Greenland and Canada and Mexico and Colombia and every country in the Western Hemisphere is now, to quote Mr. Trump, who said that this is what Gustavo Petro, the president of Colombia, should be doing, watching their asses.
So what does all of this mean for us? Well, the point we should be focusing on is China's non-reaction. The last top-level delegation that President Maduro met with before his abduction was from China, and it was led by President Xi's special envoy to South America. Maduro was so excited about this that he took to social media afterwards to tell the world, quote, China and Venezuela united. Well, that comment didn't age well. In a move that needs careful assessment in Pretoria, we find out why. Erin Connolly is The Economist's Asia correspondent.
China is absolutely important to Venezuela, and it would not have been able to resist American pressure over the last couple of decades without Chinese support. China invested in Venezuela as part of its effort to expand its own influence in Latin America. It's Venezuela's largest creditor. It's the largest buyer of Venezuelan oil. But Venezuela is not that important to China. It was meant to be a beachhead of Chinese influence in Latin America, and that's why they invested so much money in the country over those two decades. But China's primary interests are still in Asia. And as far as those interests go, the loss of Venezuela won't affect thinking in Beijing that much.
It's such a tricky, tricky world that we're in right now. And we at BizNews believe that we should be putting South Africa first. We should be attacking the criminal justice system, which has been infiltrated by criminals. We know this from the Madlanga Commission. We should be focusing on reducing unemployment and on getting the South African economy moving in the right direction by proper reforms. But it appears as though Pretoria seems to be preoccupied with what's happening elsewhere in the world. Maybe somebody there should be putting everybody in the room and saying, let's act like grown-ups, know that this is a dangerous time. Let's rather sit on the sidelines and not pull our people into the craziness. Well, now you have the edge. For the full interviews and the details behind these stories, head over to biznews.com. plenty fresh information for you there. I'm Alec Hogg. Thanks for starting your morning with us. Now go and seize the day.